Hi, friends.
Hello, should I delete that, listeners?
We still have some tickets left for our live tour and we would absolutely love to see you there.
On Thursday, the 23rd of May, we will be performing in the London Islington Assembly Hall.
On Monday, the 27th of May, we will be in Salford.
On Tuesday, the 28th of May, we'll be in Glasgow.
Sunday, the 2nd of June, Birmingham.
Monday, the 3rd of June, Bristol.
And Tuesday, the 4th of June in Southampton.
You can get your tickets at aegpresents.co.uk or via the link in the show notes or our Instagram bios.
We really hope we'll see you there.
We are thrilled to share that this episode is sponsored by one of our favourite brands, French beauty brand L'Occitane. We've been fans of this brand for a long time, for their products, of course, but also for their long-standing and ongoing philanthropic work, which we weren't told to shout about, but we just really wanted to.
I've used their hand creams for years. They're enriched with shea butter and they come in a variety of different beautiful scents, but my favourite has to be the lavender. The ritual of applying the hand cream combined with the delicate scent of the lavender from Provence really makes me feel so relaxed.
Oh my God, have you been to France? Personally, I love the products from L'Occitane's almond collection so much. It's hard to choose one, but if I had to, it would be the almond shower oil because it is amazing to me that I can get so moisturized in the shower.
L'Occitane have given us an exclusive discount code for listeners of Should I Delete That to celebrate the launch of our new podcast. With the code DELETE, you can get 10% off purchases online, as well as free delivery on all online orders until the 10th of February. Perfect for a pick-me-up purchase to beat those January blues. Hi, we're back after a crazy week.
And we've got a name. Welcome to the Should I Delete That podcast.
We finally settled and we made it to number one. What the fuck?
What the fuck? Literally, what the fuck?
I am still in disbelief. My mum was like, yeah, but why? And I was like, no, but honestly, I can't give you an answer. And she was like, but why? Like, did some... And I was like, I don't know. But it happened.
I don't think we should ask too... Like, I don't want to know. You know what
Let's
I mean?
Let's not look into
like, it's
it.
It's just fine. Just
it
leave it.
Might
it
be
happened.
Revoked.
It's... Yeah, exactly. They could take it away. It was an accident. Sorry. Like, what the hell? But also... Thank you so much.
Oh, seriously, thank you. Like, I always feel a bit cringe when I say, like, thank you to you guys, but I mean it. Like, thank you so much. It actually does mean a hell of a lot to us.
Honestly, I sobbed, like, because we didn't even want to put that out. I couldn't even make Alex listen back to it. I was like, please listen to it.
I didn't want to listen, but I do you know what? I have actually never listened back to a podcast episode before, which is crazy. That I've done, I mean, because I pick apart everything I say, but I did listen back. I'm glad you made me. It wasn't as bad as I thought. Largely, thanks to our amazing producer, Daisy Grant, who had to edit down about 10 hours of talking to an hour and a bit. So,
love you. And over Christmas as well. And with our million edits, mine, because I'm a nightmare. And we didn't credit him, but my Alex, other Alex, made the jingle.
I was going to say, we never credited him.
He's in the show notes.
Yeah. Thanks, Daisy.
He's a music genius and he came up with our jingle and... Yeah, he's going to do some more for us, isn't he?
He is,
he's going to do some more for our segments. What do you call them?
I was like, oh, what? But also, guys, Alex said she could hold a tune and then she fucking proved it.
Oh, I went all in, didn't
you did,
I?
Yeah.
I did. I had no shame.
It's just been the most amazing, like...
Yeah.
I sound real.
No words.
Terrible thing to say at the beginning of a podcast. Just lost for words.
Speechless.
So we're back. So yeah, it's 2022 now. We've got a weekly podcast.
Yeah.
And we've got a first guest today. We've got a structure.
So our weekly structure, so our first weekly segment is going to be called The Good, The Bad and The Awkward.
Yeah, so The Good, The Bad and The Awkward. We're going to look back at our own weeks and find something good, find something bad and find something awkward, and because we are incredibly awkward individuals. That won't be hard. Yeah, I mean, I guess the point of the podcast, in a big way, is to make everybody feel better because we're also fucking messes. So
totally, which is what like we kind of tried to get across with that first episode that we did. Like, we know it wasn't polished, it wasn't perfect, it was slightly messy and unstructured, but like that's what we want to, like, we want to give you a glimpse into, like, how...
The chaos. This episode, I think, will be incredibly helpful for us, but hopefully for you as well.
This guest and this interview... Well, not for our questions. The interview wasn't amazing for our questions.
The interviewers were lacking, but the guests.
Yeah, but the guests. Oh, my God. It was just incredible. I can't wait to listen back.
I know.
Genuinely can't wait to listen back. I think she's changed my life, and it was only like 40 minutes long.
I know.
So I feel like it's going to have a hugely positive effect on you guys as well. Should we go into our first segment?
Yes, the good, the bad, and the awkward.
So, what was your good?
Oh my God, well, my good was that the podcast that we released went to number fucking one. And I'm never ever going to stop. If I ever have a week where that's not the good, then something really incredible must have happened. But yeah, I mean, it was Christmas. So that Christmas was nice. I hung out with my goddaughter, which was epic. So basically, sorry to the baby Jesus and to the baby Olivia. But the best part of my week was the podcast going to number one. So what about you? What was your good?
You stole my good.
We can share this good.
We can share this good. Yeah, epic. Still can't believe it. I genuinely can't believe it. I'm stunned. And I feel like I need to... Well, I was going to say put it in my bio, but I have already. So have you, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've put number one podcast in my bio.
Same. We're such assholes.
Even if we never get into the charts ever again...
It doesn't matter.
That can't be taken away from
us. We've
done it. You're bad. Let's get a bit heavy.
All right, fine. So I have cried a bunch. To
be
honest,
have.
I
had a tough time.
I've had a shit week, and I don't really, you know, it's just been a couple of things. Instagram, I don't know what's happening. Something's going on with my account. I've been shadow banned, which is fine. My side boob is incredibly offensive.
So basically, you put up a picture of you with like a little bit of side boob.
It's not even. Basically, someone's going through my old account, like old pictures, and like Alex Cameron, the phenomenal photographer, like the proudest photo I've ever had taken of myself. She took, and it's art. Like, and I don't want to be.
It's a nude photo, isn't it?
Yeah,
it
is.
Stunning.
I don't want to be an asshole that's like, hey, I'm art, but also I'm fucking claiming it because Alex is so amazing.
It was incredible.
Yeah, and Instagram removed that, and it was an old post, and then they've been going back through and removing a lot of my old posts for like bullying and harassment when I make self-detrimental jokes, which is a lifestyle, so they've got a lot to remove.
It's bizarre.
Yeah, it is weird. So I've had a lot of like targeting stuff on my account, and then also, like, I have talked about this online, but the Daily Express just written like a load of shit about me. Like, they just made me sound like such a knob, and they've just been writing so much, and obviously on the back, the headlines that they were publishing were inviting criticism, which came.
Right.
So I just basically started the new year like just having people, a lot of people speaking about me in a way that I wouldn't like necessarily want. Like, it just didn't really, I don't know, it didn't make me feel stunning, which is why we've got the guests that we've got on today, because I just started it feeling a bit like overwhelmed and anxious and very aware that like there are a lot of people like telling me that I was ugly and stupid and vacuous and non-entity and like all of this stuff. So
they sound like really nice people.
Yeah, oh my gosh, like honestly, like happy gorgeous. Fucking new year. Like, are you okay? Why are you sat in your basement? Like, I don't know why I assume all these people are in the basements and they're probably just like sitting with their kids, but you know.
The headlines were so misogynistic and derogatory, and they were, you're right, they were trying to invite criticism, like, and send it your way. Yeah. Like, that's what they were like leaning on the fact that you were going to get criticism for it, and they were going to get comments,
I think I'd have been able to handle it. I was just, yeah, it is clickbait. But yeah. I was just tired, and I just was like, you know what? I can't. Like, I think just on the double side of like having Instagram come for my account and then having the pieces written on the other side, I was just like, oh my God, like
it's a build up.
It's everything's fine. I'm fine. Yeah. The raw squeaky voice. I'm fine.
You sound fine, Em.
Yeah, no, thanks. I really feel it. No, I am. It was just like the first couple of days of January. I was just like, oh God, it's just too much. And then whatever. But so that wasn't ideal. But also, you know, these things happen. And and I'm really proud that we can talk about it, because I think it's incredibly important that we talk about the way that the media speaks about women and the way that the commenters in turn react to that. So it's been cool. It's been a good conversation.
Yeah.
You know,
and you learn something from everything that you go through, right?
God, and I thank you, because you were so supportive of me. I really appreciate. It's like, I don't know, when something like that's happening, you can feel really isolated and really like ashamed and like on your own with like, I don't know. So when people like have your back, I'm like, oh.
Yeah. You feel like you're on your own in the spotlight.
Yeah.
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 And you were in the spotlight, and I get that that was very anxiety inducing and it was kind of like a build up. I totally get it.
Yeah, I wanted to like creep into 2022, like no sudden movements, you know what I mean? And then I'm like, ah!
Stealthy.
It got me. So that was my bad.
That was your bad.
What was your bad this week?
We promised the messy, didn't we? So,
we did, yeah.
Yeah, so I had a bit of a mare on Instagram, actually, a very public mare that was pretty much entirely my own fault. I called out a celebrity. I'm not going to say her name because I just don't want to send anyone else her way, but she came out with a weight loss transformation program on Boxing Day. It was a typical celebrity DVD style before and after. Look how much weight I've lost and now you can do it too. Like my DMs after she released it were like chock full, absolutely chock full of people who were affected by it, and I felt compelled to say something, to say, you know, you don't need to do this and this is just diet culture. Anyway, it got back to her and the whole thing just kind of blew up, and what really bothered me was that I upset her. I genuinely didn't want to upset anyone, and I was either stupid or naive, I'm not sure which one, but to think that she wouldn't see it, and I'm really sorry about that.
It's so difficult with this stuff because you never want to be angry with the individual because it's the culture that we rebel against. But often it's spearheaded by certain people.
Right.
And it's really difficult for you and your job, but for everybody not to be angry with the individual, right? Because it's like you see it in action and you want to react, like, you know, you want to make it stop and make it better, and you're worried about the people that it's affecting.
Totally. Every individual that perpetuates diet culture is actually just a symptom of the wider systemic problem, and in hindsight I wish I'd spoken up about it without any attachment to any individual. I wish I just called out the culture, because there are like so many people doing this and so many people perpetuating this toxic culture, and I don't know how productive it is to instead just call out one individual. I'm working it all out, and so I wish I hadn't, and I'm just genuinely sorry about it. But yeah, I think there's power in knowing like that you made a mistake, I think, and like admitting it.
Oh my god, I do it all the time. I did it actually, like I got some criticism on my post the other day, and then I shared it on my story, and then I was like, that was a wanky thing to do. So instantly I'm like, should I delete that? Yes.
Yes.
This is why the podcast is cool for this. Like, it was so appropriate that
so aptly named.
All of that was kicking off for you on Boxing Day and the podcast was being released on the 27th.
Oh my God.
And I literally got a text from you being like, should I delete that post? So I was like, we have done a very good thing in the naming of this podcast.
It was like the weirdest timing. And some of the hate I was getting was like, you engineered this to promote your podcast.
You guys overestimate our ability to take in criticism. We would never deliberately do something.
I would be
so
a marketing
scary.
Genius. Like, give me an award if I'd done that.
Maybe that is why we got to number one. Maybe you are a marketing.
Maybe
that's
am.
It. So the awkward. Have so you done awkward. Anything this week that's made you feel like a massive bellend? Or is it a little one?
Always. I'm the most awkward person in the world.
Oh my God, no. I tripped over yesterday. I was walking. I was on my way home from my dog walk, and there's like a greasy spoon calf next to where I live, where like the guys like on the construction sites go every morning, and we kind of have this like, we're not friends, but you know.
I know
anyway,
the deal.
So I just try and not look at them. Just because I don't want to engage. I don't know. Like, I hate the way explaining, like, you know how women feel when you walk past construction sites? No one's at blame. It's just how I feel.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's that. I was walking past. I'm always a bit orcs. And I walked and it was really slippery. And I slipped on the cobbles. And I just hear people going, "Bee." And I was like, ah. And I looked. I did that thing where you turn around and you're like, who did that? And I was like, oh no, I did that with my own feet. And then I'm like, "Boo, don't look at me." So yeah, fine. Just I tripped.
You got a good love a good trip.
And then I've got to go back this morning. I'm like, right, pride in tatters.
No dignity.
No.
My awkward. I keep going on this morning about my garlic breath, don't I? I keep going on about it.
Yeah, and because... to be fair, our lovely producer Daisy did just bend over, and Alex did the biggest burp.
Yeah, that should be my awkward moment. Oh my God.
It was such a bad
so
time.
So gross.
Yeah. I saw it in slow motion.
Yeah, I have no shame in
Bear. Hair, like, blowing back.
I actually hate eating garlic. Like,
I love
yeah,
garlic.
Yeah, no, I do, but I can't bear the after effects.
Can
I feel like
smell?
I can taste it. I feel like it's all anyone can smell. On the dinner I had last night, Dave was like, whoa, that is so garlicky.
I don't know why he has to garlic shame you like that. I really don't.
He really did. And then he was like, don't come near me, because it's like really bad garlic. I'm staying well away from everyone.
No, I wish
today.
You wouldn't. I love it. I keep trying to get a whiff, but yeah, being really stingy with her sweat glands. She won't let me near them.
But yeah, actually, that was a really good awkward moment that I burped in our producer's face.
It's a professional podcast, and we're really proud of it.
I'm a really good burper.
She's like, come out.
is that why she left?
Yeah, 100%. Shit. She said she's just popped out, but I don't think she's coming back.
She's gone for therapy.
She's like, this. Oh, speaking of therapy, let that lead us in.
Oh my God, what a good segue.
Thank you. It's almost like you planned it. Yeah. Did you engineer this? Are you a fraud? All the tools that I have, I learned from one person. She's called Jacqueline. She is an incredible life coach. And I love following her on Instagram. Like, I genuinely, she puts out shit and I'm like, well, fuck, I am inspired. So we thought, since I'm a fucking mess, that this would be a really good opportunity to kind of talk through the anxieties that I've been feeling, because I shared a post on Instagram yesterday when we're filming this, of me crying in the bath, because that's the good quality content that people love it. To see. And kind of said that I was really struggling with overwhelm coming into this new year, and so many people commented and said they felt the same way. So we thought this would be a really good and valuable first episode. She really is an expert life coach, and we're really proud that she's come on to give us therapy.
Literally, it's live therapy. I was so excited to speak to Jacqueline and meet her, because you have talked to me about her, and I've seen, since you've been seeing her, I have like genuinely noticed a shift in you, and also how you help me manage my anxieties all the time, quite often. And I've been feeling anxious as well, like all the stuff that I mentioned before and like whatever, just, I feel like everyone's just feeling anxious right now. There's a lot of pressure to not feel anxious. Mm. And that in turn makes me feel anxious. So I was really excited to talk to her and to offload, basically. I didn't mean to, but that's kind of how it ended up.
It just falls out, doesn't it?
It did.
So Jacqueline Hirst is a life coach. She writes for GQ. She has a number one best-selling book called How to Do You, which I genuinely, from the bottom of my soul, recommend. It's a really, really practical book. She's had an incredibly tough life. She describes it herself on her website, that she had a tough childhood and slipped into drugs and alcohol at a young age. She was anorexic, bulimic, depressed, and suffering terrible anxiety and cripplingly low self-esteem. But in her mid-20s, she hit rock bottom and couldn't continue and decided something had to change. Over the last 15 years, she studied all over the world. She has helped herself, but she has helped countless people along the way. We're so proud that she's here and so excited. I genuinely think what Jacqueline teaches should be on the curriculum. Like, it should be mandatory learning. And I'm so excited even just for everybody to be able to pick up little bits of her wisdom, because they are little gold mites, dust particles. It's so exciting. So without further ado, so excited. Welcome, Jacqueline Hirst.
Hi, Jacqueline.
Hello, how are you?
Good. We are so excited to have you on, me especially, because Em has raved about you a lot and advised me to see you a lot. so I'm very excited to chat to you. I mean, God knows we need this episode. And we're going to try and not to turn it into a live therapy session, but I suspect that's where we're headed.
I mean, that's why I'm here, so.
Yeah. So we want to start with a question that's a really big one, but a really important one, and something that is kind of detrimental to both me and Em, and I know a lot of other women's lives. So, are you ready? It's a big question.
I'm ready.
Okay.
Bring it on.
Why do we need to be liked? Why do we have this all-consuming need to be validated by other people?
It's a really good question. And it's something that so many people struggle with about validation and this needing to be liked. And it's something that we're never really going to have any control over because we can't control what other people think or say or do. Mm. Why do we have it? I think we basically have it for, I mean, there's a million reasons which would take up the whole of this podcast. But one of the things one really needs to think about is our own security versus insecurity. And where did that start? And it can start in childhood. It can start even as a kid, you know, like you're the eldest and then suddenly you've got a brother come along and you're like, wait, go away. It's me. It's me. And this is really a, you know, ego versus soul thing. And that's why mental health and doing your work, self-development work on your mind and your mindset and elevating into emotional adulthood, this stuff really matters because that's how we release the need for people to like us or you know, being stressed about what other people think. That's why this work's really important, I think.
Right, so to switch the validation from external to internal.
1,000%. Like, you know, when you've done your work, you understand that, you know, I'm sitting here on this podcast, there's going to be some people that are going to love what we're about to talk about, or they're going to say, oh, Jacqueline, that sounds great. I really resonate and that I really understand it and et cetera, et cetera. There will definitely be some people that don't think that at all and say, that's a load of shit. Who is she? She doesn't know what she's talking about. And all of that's okay. And none of that's got anything to do with me, right? So when we learn how to release from that stuff, I really believe that's total freedom.
It's like, it's not even, I mean, having done this work with Jacqueline, it's like, for me, it wasn't learning how to make everybody like me. It was just learning that, like, I can't. And it's like, it's just a massive waste of energy. Like, I'd see it as, like, inefficient to my life to just spend all this time being like, love me, because I can't.
But that's
make
it. But
them.
You also learned not just that you can't, but also that you didn't need it anymore. You didn't need people to do that for you. So you learned those two things. And I think that's really important, especially Em, with what you're doing when, you know, you're out there putting everything out of how you feel and what you think and you're authentic. And, you know, the internet is a wild place. The world is a wild place. You know, just before I got here, I was just speaking to a girlfriend of mine in New Zealand. She went out on 2 dates with this guy, had a lovely time. She called me up this morning. She's like, he's totally ghosted me. I said, welcome to the world, right? Yeah. Like, this is what happens. And, you know, we go out into the world and we assume that everybody thinks the same as us and behaves the same way as us and, you know, views things the ways that we do. And they don't. Everybody's completely different. They've all had a totally different way of being brought up, their thought processes, their belief systems, their religions, their all of it. So, you know, this stuff, again, is why it's really important to unpack this stuff, to learn to unlearn the negative, to relearn how to handle people, places, things in a way that just would chill.
But it's like letting people misunderstand or like not fully see. I was so judgmental. Like, I literally was like, I have my own standards for myself and they were really high. And then I would like project those onto other people. And it's like, why am I doing this? No one's ever going to be what I need them to be level.
And what you're saying is so true. Like, everyone is living their life and looking at everyone else's life through their own lens,
100%.
Which has been totally fashioned through, like, you know, their upbringing, their surrounding, their environment. It's so true. But Em and I think, are suckers for punishment as two women who are sensitive. And also, I think it's fair to say, quite fairly rejection sensitive.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm really good at taking criticism.
See, I don't believe in rejection.
I do.
Dun, dun, dun. But I don't. I don't believe in it. I believe that how I think about whatever that situation is really matters. How I think really matters. And if I think I have been rejected, that's going to make me feel awful. But I'm not a believer of rejection. Like, this guy that ghosted my friend, that has nothing to do with my friend.
Right.
It's so true.
It's so true. But how do you get there? So you're your friend, okay, and you've just been ghosted. It feels very personal and it feels very much like it's about you.
It's got nothing to do with me.
This is so fun because I love when she does this because it doesn't have anything to do with her.
But how do you get to that place of making it's not about me?
I love this.
First of all, you've got to do your work, right? Okay. So it's really important. You know, you can't just click your fingers. I mean, you can if you're really involved in the work for a session. But mainly, you have to understand that what anyone else is doing is never about you. And it's like when we get dressed and we go out to a party and we put a dress on and we're like, oh God, I'm not sure. And I don't know if I look good and I don't know this and da-da-da-da-da. Nobody is looking at you or your dress or anything. They don't care. Why? Because they care about themselves.
Right.
And also, sorry, on the dress thing, oh God, this is so fun. Because if they're looking at you and, okay, so maybe they think like, oh, she looks a bit slutty, for example, like she's got her boobs out. Why is she thinking, why does that person think that? Because that's how they've grown up, and they've grown up in a society that encourages them to slut shame and think this way about women. That's got nothing to do with me or my dress, like Jacqueline says, or my boobs. It's got everything to do with them and their thoughts and their prejudices. And then
you go one step further and you then understand that, weirdly, she's allowed to have her opinion. Whoa, guys. She's allowed to think that. Whoa. But you don't have to join her in that thinking. And this is the key of, like, we're all allowed to have a difference of opinion. Why has the world gone into this, it's got to be that way or it's got to be this way? Like, let's just say you've got an opinion, I've got an opinion, and they're different, and that's okay. And different is allowed. It's allowed to be different. The world would be weird if we all had the same opinion on everything.
Right, it would be boring.
Right, but where's the respect?
Oh, you're so right. Also think I'm a bit guilty of this as well, of being like, arguing back when people disagree with me.
Let them
rather
disagree.
Rather than just like make peace with it and let it go, which is what my husband tells me to do all the time. I feel like I have to
explain myself
and respond, and I'm defensive, and I hate that I get defensive about it. But you're so right, like choosing that, like, not necessarily higher path, because I don't mean it to be
well,
like...
Well, it's an emotionally mature way of living your life, and never mind them. It's always about you, right? So if you're doing the work with me, you're not responding for them. You're not responding for you, because you have found a way to think about that makes you feel calm, and in turn, you don't take any action.
This is what Jacqueline's like taught me, is calmness. Like I was the most highly strung person now. And even still, instinctively, I do think there's like, it's probably a science, I don't know it. But like when you get a message, instinctively, you're like, oh my God, I'm being attacked. But then I just sit with it for a second. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm fine. And it's like, because my thoughts, even when, because actually the reason that we wanted to talk to you today is because like I got quote unquote trolled by some Daily Express readers on New Year's Day. I'm a flat slag, guys, so I'm delighted. But it's just learning. It's just like, I don't have to take this personally. I can't stop them commenting on this. I can't stop them thinking these things. I can't control how they perceive me. I can just control how their words affect me, and I just don't want to be upset by somebody who's got the time to comment on a Daily Express. What is it? Well, don't take criticism from somebody you wouldn't go to for advice. Like, I'm not going to a Daily Express commenter advice. Oh, guys, do I look nice today? Like, no, I don't care.
I also think you need to think about, again, from sort of a different space, I would say. One would really want to sit down and think about what must be going on for that person in their own life, for them to want to sit down and make a comment like that. And that's all I think is something that I think we should think about. You know, like, I honestly think if you're a person that is happy with yourself, is living a life where you're comfortable, is less ego, more soul-led, I'm not sure you're sitting down making comments like that from your computer. I'm just not sure that you are.
No. Can I ask advice, like, not because me and Alex have a very specific job and it's really unique in the, like, you know, we're trolled by random basement dwellers that we shouldn't care about. But what happens when criticism or perceived criticism comes from somebody that you love? You know, it's like, I don't know about you, but so often I hear from my followers that, like, their mums have said something that's made them feel unworthy, or their sisters have put them down or whatever. Like, how do you think you approach this sort of thing when it's from somebody that you love rather than from some sad cretin in their mother's basement?
It's all how you think about it. So nobody can criticize you unless you let them. Nobody can put you down unless you let them.
She's like, what?
But they can't, right? They can't do that to you. Nothing's happening to you.
It's so true. When I started doing the work, and I do want Jacqueline to explain the model that she teaches to help get this way of thinking. But I would always give her my situations that are making me anxious, and I'm like, oh, somebody's shouting at me or doing this to me, and she's like, no, they're not. They're speaking. Words are coming out their mouths. Yeah. They're not doing this to you. Stop taking it so personally. Words are coming out their mouth. And I'm like, oh yeah.
So I could walk in here today, and you could say, Jacqueline, you know, those jeans, they're not really, you know, really? Could you have not, you know, maybe different style? And I've got two ways of thinking about that. I'm either in a emotional childhood space of going, I can't believe she said that to me. That's so fucking rude. How dare she? What's she trying to say? What about her Jeep, right? And off you go, yeah? Which those thoughts make you feel anxious, upset, you know, not good enough, unworthy. And you're doing that to yourself by your thinking. Or I choose to think, like, that's really interesting that Alex wants to talk about my jeans today.
Right.
And I feel really chill about that.
And also it's kind of weird that she wants to criticise my jeans, right?
But I don't think it is a criticism. I just think it's your opinion.
Right.
And have to like my jeans. I'm cool with that.
It's just like, I can literally hear your mind
mesmerised, but I'm transfixed by you. This is like...
I just think it's, you know, it's not me. It's about... You know, I've had a real journey through life, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of my work was about understanding that the power's all within me, right? And I got labelled a million things. I got a comment on my Instagram this morning. Someone was like, you know, but I've got this and I've got that, and surely a mindset change because I've got all of these things won't work. And I don't believe that. I really believe that we are not taught the power of our brain. Our brain is so fucking powerful when we learn to use it properly, but we don't get taught it. No one teaches us that at school. No one ever taught me at school, like, this is how you manage your mind and your feelings.
Right.
When I started with Jacqueline, like, because you're quite, like, tough.
I'm very tough.
And I'm so fucking sensitive. Sometimes I'll ring Jacqueline and I'll be like, there's really bad things happening. And Jacqueline's like, right, well, I can just hear you're going to play the victim today, so I don't think this is very helpful. And I'm like... what? Da, 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 da. And then I'll hang up and then I'm like, oh, she's right, to be fair. Like, I have a choice. I can sit and feel, and Jacqueline's like, you can feel sad if you want. You can sit and feel sad. Or if you want to try something new, we can try that. And it's obviously much more complex than like, whatever. But for me, it has become a choice of like, I'm going to try. I'm going to try the positive thing. I'm going to try.
But it's also not like, I mean, and I need to make this clear. This isn't like, let's just think positively about everything in our lives, right? Because I don't believe in that. They never worked for me. And for me, again, I'm talking personally, like affirmations, they never worked for me. I could never stand in a mirror and go like, I accept myself. Like, it just wasn't going to fucking happen. I had to learn what the hell is going on in my head. And then when I understand that I'm doing this to myself and I get a choice, I'm now in a position of like, I've got some power around myself and some control around my head, which means that I'm human, right?
I was going to ask then the distinction between letting yourself feel the emotions and allowing yourself to dwell on something that in turn produces negativity. Say, for example, someone's mum has made a comment that's made them feel less than or unworthy. Should they allow themselves to feel the sadness? You know, how do you strike that balance?
So first of all, if the mum has said something, the mother hasn't made the person feel unworthy. The person themselves have thought about what the mother said in a way that makes her or him feel unworthy, right?
Oh my God, I love that. It took me like a year. I was like, reframe. No, I don't believe it. This is not my fault. I did this quite badly.
It's really important. And second of all, I'm a really big believer of feeling your feelings, right? Okay. Like, I am so behind that. Like, you have to process. There is no, and by the way, listeners, there's no other way through. Right? You can drink it away, sex it away, gamble it away, you know, smoke it away. Like, forget it. You need to feel your feelings, right? That's so important, and it's really healthy. And you have to process those feelings, right? And when you're ready to not feel those feelings anymore, because there will come a time where you've had enough of feeling sad or anxious or unhappy or negative, there will come a time when you're like sick and tired of being sick and tired in that space. And that's when you're ready to do your work.
That's important, I think, because a lot of the time I'm like, I should brush this off. It's all about mindset. I don't need to feel like this anymore, so snap out of it. And I think that's what a lot of people don't understand, is that grey area, that like little bit in between the transition phase, I guess, that is
sounds like it's very
necessary, because I can't just snap myself out of feeling anxious. I wish I could, but, you know, or feeling sad about something that's happened. So I think that's a really important note, to let yourself feel everything you're feeling,
100%.
But know that you're going to come to a point, and to allow yourself to be ready at a point for you then to shift your mindset.
Exactly. And the more you do mindset work, the less you have those negative feelings.
Really?
And that's where the work that we do really, you know, comes into play. So that's a very important space to be in, is to do the work, so that the things that used to affect you don't affect you anymore. To me, that was priceless. That was a priceless gift. Like, you can't have anything better, in my opinion. One can't get anything better than that in life. That no matter what's going on, or what people are saying, or what people are doing, or the situations I'm in, that I can stay calm about it and comfortable in that space no matter what. To me, it was like, that's all I want. I just want peace of mind. So, 'cause to me, personally, I think that's a form of success. But we've all got a brain, and we can all utilize it and learn how to do this work. And it's just a matter of whether we want to invest in ourselves like that or not, you know, mentally, emotionally, physically.
I just think it's so exciting, like, recognizing, I don't know about you, but I allowed myself to go into like really powerless, like I'd like gather up all the power that I had, and I'd just like put it in my hands and offer it around. I'm like, anyone want any?
I still do.
Yeah, I'm like, guys, take it. And like, I honestly, I said this before to you, I'm one of those people that seeks out negativity, or like I seek out, like, I needed to know what everybody had to say about me. And like, I wanted all the reviews in, and then I'd be like shoving my ear up against the door, and then I'd hear something bad, and then I'd be like, oh God, how could they? And I'm like, hang on. Like, I'm like, guys, take my power. And it's just the most exciting thing this year for me, or like last year, was just realizing that it's like, you can have it. You've got so much within you. And I don't know about everyone else, but I think like with COVID and with the pandemic and stuff, like so much of the lines got blurred, and I feel like loads of people with the work from home haven't been able to, I don't know, like I think a lot of us have like sacrificed our home life and our happiness and like our funness. And I think something that's been like my big dream for like 2022 is like recognizing that I want to have fun and I can have fun, and it's okay to switch off and stuff. But that's all like what you were saying earlier about the validation. It's like recognizing within yourself that you deserve good things.
Yeah.
And you don't always have to go out looking for like criticism and...
Right.
Do you know what I mean? It's like...
Listen, people are always going to have an opinion.
Yeah.
And it's what do you want to do with that?
Yeah, right? You can just choose sometimes. It's great.
This is like mind blowing. It's like so spot on.
But this is, you know, this is why when people talk about mental health, you know, and I'm really anti-labels, you know, people tried to label me when I was getting clean and well with a million different labels. You know, you're this, you're this, you're this, you're this, and you're this. And you got to be careful with that, because you don't want to live up to a label, right? Like, everyone has a form of a mental health issue, because none of us have been taught how to handle our minds. But there's levels and layers of all of this, right? And we can, you know, learn how to have a peaceful mind. We can. And so it's important to know and to put it out there for people that, like, we don't have to sit in pain, right? We don't. We don't have to sit in that space.
Amazing. Do you know, Em made a really good point just then about throughout the pandemic, boundaries really became blurred, right? Between home life, work life, like, it was...
And being with your families and like,
right,
just no individual space.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I found that really, you know, like, made me very, very anxious. And I think a lot of people online talk nowadays about setting boundaries and saying no. But I know that is something that a lot of people have a hard time doing, including us. Can't say no to save my life. Do you have advice on that
for perennial people pleasers. Like, how can we say no without letting it make us feel bad?
So the thing is if you say no, it's going to make, if you don't say no, it's going to make you feel bad. So that, again, you've got a choice, right? Which way do you want to sit? You're completely right that the reason we don't say no is because we're people pleasing. Mm. Except, again, when you do this work, you understand you can't please people because they've got their own thoughts and their own feelings, which I can't control. So whatever I do is whatever I'm going to do, and you're going to decide to think about that, whichever which way you're going to decide to think about that. And I could be the nicest person in the world to you, and you could still choose not to like me. So that's really interesting to know, right? So saying no is not about the other people. When we learn to like ourselves and value ourselves and believe that we are worthy and key, good enough, we learn to start to take care of ourselves more. And we say, I'd love to do that, but I can't do that today, but I could do it for you on Friday. And what you learn when you're brave enough to do that work is the people that are not meant to be in your life will fall away. And again, that's another gift. And the people that are meant to be in your life, they stay. And most people would say, that's fine, Friday's great, no problem. And you think, gosh, why didn't I say no earlier?
Right.
You can't make other people happy. No. That took me so long to learn with Jack. And it's like, because I'd be like, oh, no, but I want to. And I would. Then I'll make their lives easier. And I'll make this. And I'll make this. Yeah. And I'll just do everything. Like, let me help
you. So unhealthy.
It's so tiring.
And unhealthy, like, in relationships, right? Like,
oh my God, yeah.
You've got to go into a relationship as a whole person. You've got to, it's not someone else's job to make you happy. It's your job to make you happy and whole and feeling like you're good enough. You know, this is why this work is so important.
And actually, when you're the happiest of yourself, you can then be what other people, you know, the people that have stayed around, you're exactly what they want you to, or not what they want you to be, but you're exactly right for them because you can all be happy together rather than one of you giving, like, all of yourself, right?
Really, yeah, 100% right.
I imagine, like, the art of saying no is kind of like exposure therapy. Like, the more you say it, the better you feel about 100%. It, right?
I'm going to see Alex for the rest of the year.
No.
100%. But it's an important thing to learn to do, you know.
Definitely. And I like that you, I mean, I see a lot of things online that I struggle with that say no is a complete answer or no is a complete sentence. Mm-hmm. Because I am like a really polite person. Like, I never want to make anyone feel bad. So I kind of struggle. Do you know what I mean?
That's massively part of being a woman as well. And it's like, we're so conditioned to be like, oh, can I make your life easier? Can I make you more comfortable? How can I be palatable? How can I be perfect? How can I be well presented and easygoing? Because you don't want a difficult woman because they're hysterical and they're angry and they're overly emotional and they're a nightmare and blah, 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 blah.
And people talk about them.
And exactly. Like, so I think women are much more likely to be people pleasers because we have been conditioned to create easy lives for everybody around us. Mm. And we are taught to prioritize other people. And you know what Jack's saying about like us not having the right tools. Like, I think we've been given actively by a patriarchal society the wrong tools in order to make us play this part. And I think you can still be so nice and say, like, I'm still shit at it, by the way, but I do know.
We've got work to do. Yeah,
you can still say, like, thank you so much, but on this occasion, it's a no. And that's not rude, but because I think, like, because we're so conditioned to be so malleable that we feel like any obstruction of another person's will, particularly a man's will, is like an act of defiance when actually a boundary is cool.
Love it. Boundaries are cool.
Yeah.
So we wanted to ask you about something, again, that's a huge problem that plagues women and has done for a long time, and that's comparison, which I'm sure you teach about a lot and you talk about with your clients a lot. Not to turn this into a life therapy session.
But also we're taking notes.
Yeah. I'm literally going to like start this podcast and listen to it every night. I feel like comparison is something I've struggled with all my life. Like, I don't know. I'm one of five girls. I've got four sisters. But for some reason, I never compared myself to my sisters. But it's more with other people. And like used to, historically, that was about looks. And that was rooted in aesthetic and appearance. And I've been able to overcome that, I think, due to a shift in my values. But now I feel like that comparison has transferred onto other things like skills and you know, capacities and abilities. And like I feel like I envy people a lot for not what they've got, but what they can do. I always feel like I come out of that comparison inferior. Mm. So it's a roundabout way of me saying like,
help.
Help.
Well, I think also with comparison, you say, you know, you always come out inferior, but there will also be times when you're coming out above, right? So if you're comparing, you're never always just, oh, I'm not as good as them. You will also be going, yeah, I'm better than that, so that's okay, but I'm not as good as this, so that's okay.
I don't do that, though.
That's because you're scared of being arrogant because you're a woman and you've been taught to be humble.
That's interesting that you
don't. I don't notice the people that I would perceive to have, like, less capacity than me. Not I don't notice them, sorry. I don't make that comparison.
That's really interesting. So you... what you're saying is you only ever do it where you're underneath and not good enough.
Right.
Ah.
Right.
Which says a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're so above everyone.
Thanks,
well, actually, none of us are above anybody and none of us are below anybody, right?
We're all, trying to... it wasn't healthy.
You know, comparison is the thief of joy. You would have seen that thrown around Instagram too, and that's 1,000% true. And there's two things I want to say about comparison. First of all, the only thing one should compare is if it's in a science lab. And it starts off in a, you know, a tube at the same time, in the same temperature, at the same. If it starts off in that space, knock yourself out, go compare. But how could you possibly compare yourself to me, for example? Yeah. I have dark hair, you have blonde hair. I'm this age, you're that age. You live here, I live there. You've had five sisters, I've had one sister. Like, how can we compare when we haven't even started in the same space? It makes no sense. Second of all, when it comes to things like envy, and you look at people and think, oh my God, they've done this, they've done this, I would suggest that you turned it around and you looked at those people and thought, wow, they're showing me what I can do.
Yeah.
It's a really powerful way to look at it because they're paving the way for something that you're looking at going, I want to do that too. So, and they're doing it, which is exciting.
For me, it's like, it's not about their success. It's about their ability, like what they're able to take on and do. Because I know I've got a certain capacity, maybe my mental health, like I'm not sure, but I have a certain amount of capacity and I can't go above that. I just physically can't. I can't cope.
Capacity for what are we talking about?
Life.
Exactly?
Like things, like just like handling life. Like I get like, I see people like doing, you know, they cook every night or they do this.
And do you know that?
No, I guess I just see it on Instagram.
Right then.
And that makes me feel like, oh God, like I could never do that.
You don't know that though. You're looking at, again, you're doing what a lot of people are doing. Is they're looking at a picture and they're going, oh my God, her life looks amazing. And she looks like she's got it all under control.
Yeah.
But you're looking at a picture on Instagram.
Yeah.
And you're not looking at a burnt dinner. And you're not looking at the time this person's having an argument with their other half going, can you fucking cook tonight, right? You're not looking at the real life.
That's
right? So
true.
So I'm a really big believer that the minute you go onto Instagram, you should have done a little bit of work in your head beforehand, which is I'm about to go onto a social media platform and the things I'm going to look at are not going to be real. And as long as I can do that for the next 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever it is I'm going to tell myself I can do,
7 hours.
I'm all good. Yeah, but you know, but it, even if you're doing it for 7 hours, make sure you're going in, as with everything, with the right headspace, you know? So you've got to be aware of what you're doing in your mind. So you can't be looking at pictures on Instagram going, oh my God, she's cooking every night. It's amazing. Because you don't know. And I'm a big one for facts and evidence. I love it. Like, give me the evidence that you know. You know.
Let me taste that food.
Yeah. Basically, that you're making it all amazing in your head and it's happening every night. Like, give me the evidence and we can talk about it. But you don't have any.
It's so true. We take everything at face value, don't we?
Yeah.
We totally do. And I mean, I know that what is online, what is on social media isn't real.
And you're looking at one aspect, right? Like, you've got no idea. Yeah. Is this person a nice person? How's their relationships with their family?
Are they good at
giving
cooking?
Back to society? Right. Do you know what I mean? Are they doing any charity work? Are they a kind person? Are they an honest person? No, you're looking at it going, oh my God, I'm not as good as her because she's cooking every night. Like, yeah. It's insanity when we think about it, right?
Really
what
is.
We do in our mind.
I feel a bit stupid now.
No, don't feel stupid at all. I think it's a brilliant thing to have talked about on here because I think so many people do that. And we must never beat ourselves up, right? Like, we can't. That is not the way to grow. When we judge ourselves harshly, we really miss the lessons. But it is important to say, I do this and it doesn't feel good. And so how can I do this differently?
Right.
That's good.
And it's about catching yourself, isn't it? So with all these things, it's about catching, like, hang on, I'm in this mindset and I can get myself out of it. But it's catching that. And
which is so important. And that's the first thing I say to all my clients. Usually step one is even being aware of what you're thinking. Yeah. That takes a bit of time, right? And do you remember?
Yeah, well, this is something that, like, and we never talked about this at the time, but on the comparison thing, because I don't know, maybe just because I had my face all fucked up last year, like I just wasn't in the mood to compare. I was like, I'm just going to get through my own shit. But then when I went back to the gym again after having been ages, like, on my ass, and I walked in and it was so intimidating. I got that like full, which so many people will be having now because it's January, like full gym intimidation. And I walked in, I was like, everybody's better than me and blah, blah, blah. And I had like my little Jacqueline on my shoulder and I was like, no, I'm not going to be intimidated by these people. I'm going to be inspired by them. And it's like learning that you literally can just, like I said it on Instagram a couple of days ago. It's like, just take the cassette out. Like, I'm just not going to listen to this one today. I'm just going to try something else. And again, I know there's more nuance and there's more, you know, there's so much, like, this is a lot of teaching, like, squished into one sentence. But it's just, like, it's so refreshing for me. And so I was intimidated. Then I looked around and I was like, nah, you lot are inspiring as shit.
Right.
I'm going to be like you. Love this.
And going back to what Jacqueline said earlier is, like, they don't care about you.
No one cares. No one cares.
They're not interested. Even if they notice you and go, oh, she doesn't know what you're doing. Like, and what?
No one cares.
Right.
And I love what.
It says more about them than it does about me. Like, why are you focusing on me for? Yeah. Focus and on your own shit.
And I love what Em just said, which is exactly right. You just play a different record. Yeah. Like, don't get up in the morning and put on the one that's scratchy and uncomfortable and negative and ugh. Put on one that's like, you know, life. I'm telling you, life is short, right? Like, none of us are guaranteed anything. I'm a really big believer of grabbing life, right? Like, I wasn't meant to be here many times over through my addictions and ending up where I ended up in my life. And I'm a real life lover, right? And it's we're so lucky to be alive, right? Like, really, we just don't know. You don't know what can happen in 3 minutes. You've got no idea. So trying to find the joy as much as you can is really important. And a lot of that comes down to gratitude. Gratitude is such an important part of life, to look at our lives and look at the things we can be grateful for. Like, it's a much better use of our time to look at the things we can be grateful for than to be sitting on a social media platform going, oh my God, she's better than me. Like, how do you want to look after your mind? You know, the stuff's important.
Wow.
Isn't it? And we've like run out of time, but I don't
have we?
No, but it's okay, because I feel like that was unreal.
And I feel very guilty that I've made it all about myself.
See how much work she used to do.
Okay,
she
Alex, so it's come into my office.
You must have felt guilty. That was awesome.
I feel like you haven't even asked. Like, you haven't even done your therapy. Okay. I feel bad.
No, I'm so happy that went so well. That
honestly,
so
there's so much to talk about. We can always
Jacqueline's
chat again.
Coming back.
You have 100%. To come back. There
I'd
is
love
so
to.
Much more that we need to get into, including your story as well. You know, we just don't have the time today, but you absolutely have to come back because, I mean, this has been like hugely eye-opening for me. I'm like mesmerized by you. I could just like listen to you all day.
Well, the good news is on that, Jacqueline has a book that she didn't ask me to push this. I'm just going to do it because, the most valuable thing that Jacqueline's like taught me is it's like you can only do what you can do with the tools that you have, right? And I had shit tools. I think loads of women have really bad tools. Yeah. And this, for me, has felt like a really helpful... It's been like the Allen key of tools, right? It's just been, like, so helpful. So it's a really simple model. If you've got a pen, or if you want to pause this and get a pen and paper, just... And Jacqueline does explain it in her book, but it's a really, really efficient way of, like, just getting control of your own thoughts. So, Jacqueline, could you please explain the model and how people can do it themselves at home?
Okay, so the model is something that I use a lot, and it's to do with how to get your thinking in check. So I've made it very simple. It's not, by the way, I haven't done this. This is not like something that, you know, I I'm the only one in the world that's teaching people how to use this model. It's probably like the Grow model or the Smart thing. You know, there's loads of stuff out there, but I particularly like this model, and I called it the Generation model for the way that I teach it. And what it is, it's about a situation which is a fact. It's, you know, what people think or say or do.
Should we think of an example?
Yeah, we could think of an example.
Okay, so Alex has slagged off my jeans when I walked in this morning.
Okay, that's, I love that we're example. Using that example. Yeah. Okay, so the situation there is Alex spoke words. Okay, in that situation, that's not good or bad, weirdly enough. It's only what we choose to think about it that makes it good or bad. So your thoughts are generated from that situation. So let's say the negative, would the thought would be, I can't believe she said that to me. How rude. The thought would generate your feelings, which would be angry. Your feelings will generate your actions, which would be like, I'm rude back to her. I'm like, well, that's a bit fucking rude, Alex. And the outcome is I row with Alex. And that's what I call a model. So we have a situation which generates the thoughts, the feeling, the action, the outcome. So you feel angry, not because Alex spoke words. You feel angry because your thoughts about it, which was, how dare she do that? That's rude. That's what's creating your anger. So there's your power, right? Yeah. But you could have chosen to think about it differently, which the more you do this work, it becomes natural. And you would have chosen a different thought. And a different thought could have been like, you know, nice of Alex to tell me that maybe I need to change my jean style. Maybe I'm stuck in, you know, 1988. Or like, okay, maybe Alex is, even better one of, maybe Alex is having a bad day. And when I think maybe Alex is having a bad day, I feel calm.
Because it's nothing to do
with me. And when I feel calm, the actions are, I go, all right, darling, thanks. Yeah, I'll probably change my jeans tomorrow. And it won't affect me in any way. And the outcome is I don't argue with Alex. And so how we choose to think about a situation is what matters the most. The thoughts are the key because they generate our feelings, our actions, and our outcome.
And so often the outcome for me would just be that we'd run these models and I'd get to the end and it'd be like, and I've ruined my own day.
Again and again.
Every time I'm like, oh, I've done it again.
Yeah, that's why I'm not big on, like, you know, when people talk about actions, I'm more interested in the thinking that's pushing you into the feeling to take the action than the action itself, right? Like if you want to run a marathon, it's not necessarily about the action of the running. Because how do you want to run a marathon? In a way that feels good or in a way that feels heavy and pretty exhausting? So you've got to have your thoughts right about this marathon to feel excited, right? To take the action of really enjoying those runs. Or you have negative thoughts about this marathon. You know, oh, I've said I'd do it, so I'm going to have to do it. And not feel so excited, maybe feel a bit low. And then the actions are going to be much harder. Going for that run in the rain is going to be much harder. So that's why the thoughts are the place that we start.
I literally had a light bulb moment running my ultra in January, having done all of this with Jacqueline. And it was like, I got to like whatever 16 miles or something. And I was like, oh, this is fucking awful. And I literally had this minute and I was like, I can't control any of it. I can't control the hills. I can't control the weather. I can't control my legs. I can't control shit. The only thing I can control is how I think about it.
Absolutely.
So laugh or smile. Mm. Oh, sorry, laugh or cry. And then, laughed because it was just more fun than crying.
Yeah, so. And it's a choice, right? Again, it is a choice. Yeah.
She's unreal. And the model is in the book.
The model's in the book.
Excellent.
Yep.
So
I can't wait to read it.
Enjoy, I bought your copy.
Yay. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks and for having me.
We'll see you next week.
Yeah, I'll be here next week. Same time.
That was amazing.
Like,
I feel enlightened.
I know, wasn't that unreal? Honestly, I've never seen your eyes so wide in all my life.
I couldn't just, I like, genuinely, I was like transfixed by her. She's just
extraordinary.
And she's just so calm. She's just got this really calm and like logical, like this calm presence. And then there's like what she's saying is so logical and simple, yet so mind-blowing at
don't
the same
time. Don't
you
feel like since she's gone, I don't know about you, I feel much more, I'm like, ugh. Like, she, there's such I feel a zen lighter. In the room. No, but now she's gone, I can feel our chaos creeping back in again. I'm like, oh, shit, come back. But I just, oh my God, we're so excited to do that again and again and again and again.
I can't wait to do it again and do it with listener questions
well,
as well.
Well, we did. But then we got a bit sidetracked with our own shit. Sorry. But
that was very selfish of us.
Hands up. But we've already asked Jacqueline to come back, and she's already said yes. And we're going to do some more questions with her in the future, and we will do a bumper episode just of listener questions for her. So that's exciting.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Watch this space. She's coming back.
Yeah.
So we're going to move on to our final segment of our podcast, which I'm really excited about because it's basically going to be full of your embarrassing stories, your unpopular opinions. Like, we're going to be talking about stuff that people don't normally talk about. We're going to be hopefully breaking down some taboos and stigma. And in true Alex and Em style, it's going to be one big chaotic mix of stuff.
Yeah, we want like stories. I mean, obviously this episode, you guys are like, when we asked for entries, everyone's like, why? What are you going to do with them? But I think like our intention for this is it's like we said at the beginning, like the last episode, we didn't want it to just be us all the time.
Right.
And we love hearing from you guys on Instagram. So I think actually just opening up, like sharing your stories and like, okay, when something happens to you, am I the only one that this happens to? I've just done this thing. Like email us, whether it's embarrassing or enlightening or inspiring. If you think it's something that you wish you'd heard, let us read it out, because I think like that's what we want, is people to listen to this and be like, oh, thank fuck, I'm not the only one.
Yeah, so we had loads of different entries, but one I wanted to start off with, which I thought was really interesting. What is the most ridiculous bit of advice that you got from a magazine?
I don't know. I could tell you all sorts. I know how to burn my belly fat. I know how to make men fall in love with me.
Yeah.
I know how to make every single man want me.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I know what I know. That if a man scratches his left ear, then he fancies you.
I remember reading that if his lips go red, it means he wants to kiss you.
Oh, no.
I know.
They're red already.
That one might be true. I don't actually know. But I don't know. I don't think like lipstick red. I just think like a flush.
Just go for like a nice
flush lips.
Like the Charlotte Tilbury hot red.
Yeah. But I don't have a great memory and I couldn't remember. So I Googled like some ridiculous bits of advice from magazines and I just thought I'd read a few out.
Okay, I'm ready. Okay. I think it's going to make me a better, more desirable woman when I hear these. I'm ready.
Honestly.
I'm ready.
Where's your notepad, right?
I'm ready.
This is all from, this is called Hilariously Outdated Advice from 17 Magazine. Okay. Too much skin, too much leg, too much perfume, too much makeup. All of this labels you a girl to be whistled at rather than loved.
Oh.
Such good advice.
Oh, okay.
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 Sorry.
Women, you're too much.
Another few bits. Meal at a friend's house. Take a bit of everything, but imagine you are a frail 19th century beauty and eat like a bird.
Wait, what?
How ridiculous.
Imagine you're a frail 19th century.
So basically...
pretend you're Anne Boleyn.
Right. Be polite and courteous and have good manners and take loads of food, but don't be fat.
Be a baby bird, did it say?
Eat like a bird.
Well, do you know how birds eat? Like a mother bird will eat the food and then it will hack it up and then it will feed the chewed food to the baby. That's what I'm going to start doing in dinner party.
Eat like a bird.
I'm going to dress like Anne Boleyn and then eat a load and then just get...
regurgitate.
And just choke it into a child's mouth.
17 Magazine told me.
I know, honestly, no one's going to... I'll be like, oh Christ, Anne's here again.
Anne. What happens when you return from your summer holiday 10 pounds heavier? Let us hope that the condition is temporary. Meanwhile, you must dress to minimise. So I mean, basically, they're all kind of in this phase.
You know what I don't know? Like, why we all grow up so unhappy in our bodies.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's so weird.
It like, came out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to put together that. Never underestimate the importance of your girdle. I had to Google girdle.
What's a girdle?
It's basically like, you know, like Spanx, like an all-in-one, like it covers you.
You know,
I think
what
it's
I've been doing?
Those.
I've what? Been underestimating the importance of my
you
girdle.
Have? Where is it?
Yeah, I've underestimated it.
I think I've worn a girdle like twice in my life and regretted it both times. Next up, we have, I don't know where this falls in really. Is it an embarrassing story? It's embarrassing by proxy. My sister-in-law once shat herself during an exam and then blamed the girl next to her. And I can't say who this is because they will never speak to me again, but this is someone I know. Like, the girl who shat herself during an exam is someone I know. I know.
Have you ever shat yourself? I feel like I've put you on the spot. Do you want to answer?
No, I've never shat myself.
Never shat myself. No. But whenever I talk about it on Instagram, everyone's like, what? You've never shat yourself? Well, no. I like that I talk about it so much that this happens regularly. But no, I got close once. I weed myself once. When I was 7, I remember running to the loo. And I was, don't know why, I was naked at home and I ran from my bedroom to the bathroom and I was so desperate that I weed all the way there and I never told my mom.
How old were you?
Must have been like 7 or 8.
20.
Yeah. No, 20, that's really, 27.
That's really sweet.
I know, you're really sad.
Oh, I've wet myself loads. Oh yeah, I've pissed myself loads.
I've got the most embarrassing story of my life in relation to, I don't know if I can tell it. I don't know if I'm ready. Really bad.
Is it?
Yeah, I only tell people when I'm quite drunk. And after I've known them for many, many years.
Oh my God.
Okay, fine, I'll tell you.
Go on.
It's so bad. Okay. So I went to the loo once. Well, I was at a festival and I really needed a wee. And I was really drunk. And I queued for ages at the port-a-loo. And I got into the port-a-loo. Yeah. And I started weeing.
Yeah.
And then I realised I hadn't lifted the seat up.
So you're... Wait, what? You're seeing
sat on a closed loo. And I started weeing.
Oh my God.
I just sat in my...
It just went everywhere.
Well, yeah. I was like, what?
Ew.
It was pitch black.
Why would you not squat on a port-a-loo?
I was so drunk. I normally...
Fair enough.
Chief
okay.
squatter. Like, I'm so... That's how I got such a good bum a couple of years ago. Just like festival squats. But I was so drunk. And it was a really nice port-a-loo, so I was like, well, it was until I'd been in there. Isn't that the worst thing you've
pissed
ever heard?
All over it.
I can't believe I've just told you that.
That reminds me of when I went to the loo at a festival. I hate festivals. I'm so glad that I'm like too old to ever be invited to one ever again. I was wearing dungarees and... So I went to the loo. So obviously, like, think about dungarees. Like, you have to take the straps down, unhook the straps. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think I know where this
is
going.
Yeah, and then one of the straps was just literally just, like, hanging out in the toilet the entire time, and I didn't realise until I looked down. I was like... And it was one of the... I just didn't know what to do.
What did you do? What did you do? Do you leave it? Do you leave naked?
I hung it down. I obviously didn't put it back up. I was like, I'm not touching it. And then, like, ran to my tent and changed and...
Yeah.
I don't get festivals. I don't get what people like them.
I like the idea of you in dungarees, though. I feel like that's something that could make
a resurgence.
It was
quite a look, actually.
Yeah,
I should get that back.
I love dungarees. It's only a problem when you need a wee.
Yeah. They need, like, a little hole. Or, like, what the babies do. Like, baby grow stuff.
We had an email.
Very exciting.
Yeah. And it's the most simple question. And when I bring this up to my mum...
Yeah.
She literally looks at me like I am an insane person.
Okay.
But when I talk about it to my sister, she goes... Oh, yeah. Is it just me or does everybody get hair stuck in their butt crack after washing it in the shower and then find it kind of satisfying to remove?
Was that an email that we got?
Yes, it
is. Love it. I get this during every like unpopular opinion that I do.
I'm so pleased it's becoming mainstream information.
It's very mainstream.
I thought it was just me. I was like, do I just have like big bump?
Yeah.
Like, have I got like a deep bum crack?
No, that's very normal.
It is normal, isn't
it?
Yeah,
and you've got really long hair.
Yeah. So just, so my mom literally looks at me like I'm wonky.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, you get hair caught everywhere though, don't you? It's like, if it falls all over your clothes, it's going to fall like down there, right?
Yeah, I just think it's a good landing place. But so, yeah, and then, and I know what she means about pulling it out. You're a bit like, what the fuck is that? But it's fine, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's so normal.
Yeah, 100%.
So normal.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's normal to enjoy it. Have no shame.
Yeah, fine. Jesus.
You pull your hair out of your butt crack.
Yeah, you go, girl.
No
put
shame.
Put it in there, pull it out. Do what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, good for you.
Okay. Someone said, I want to be anti-diet culture and I want to be skinnier. Make it make sense. Well, it makes perfect sense.
100%.
It makes
perfect
sense.
That is not just you. That's women everywhere.
Yes.
We want to be feminist and we want to be like, oh, fuck this and fuck this and fuck that. And at the end of the day, we're like, but God damn it. Like, I want to be in those jeans.
Right,
because
right.
Because we have been conditioned.
Yes, this stuff runs deep. 100%. This is our entire lives.
Yeah.
Like, think about how long you might have been practicing anti-diet culture for. in comparison to how long you've been immersed in diet culture for, and still are.
Yeah, you still are. Like, we are tit deep in diet culture. Yeah. I'm not being funny. Like,
tit deep, I love that.
100%. Like, we're not quite eyebrows anymore, but, you know, like, we're still...
at least tit deep.
Hugely submerged.
Yeah, for sure.
We're freezing.
We're human, and we pick up on things. And we also have this, like, innate need to be liked. And to fit in. And to conform as well. So if society tells us that we have to look like this to be liked, desired, blah, blah, successful, happy, whatever, then deep down we're probably still going to want that. And I don't think there's any harm in admitting that. I think actually the best thing you can do is admit that and understand why. Like, don't beat yourself up for it or be like, it doesn't make sense. It makes perfect sense.
Because I think then you also like hide one bit of yourself and you're like, oh God. And you feel like you can't give any space to how you're feeling because you're like, well, I don't want to say this because it doesn't align with this and this and this. And I think you have to be realistic about the fact that like, we've grown up with like, every food is like, oh, good and bad. Oh, I'm being naughty. And I'm going to, it's so much more than simply one day waking up and denouncing it. You have to like fully fucking unlearn everything. It's exhausting.
And fat phobia as well runs so deep in our psyches because it's been drummed into us and it's been so casual, and the hatred and fear of fat bodies is so normal and so prevalent. So, you know, as well as diet culture and the wanting to be thin, there's also the fear of being fat.
Yeah.
And the two work perfectly together to create a perfect storm of like, Fuck. I need to be skinnier. So don't beat yourself up. Don't be mad at yourself at all. Like, it's totally normal, you know. And also, like, humans are, like, I feel like we do live, I feel like I talk about this too much, but like, we think in such binaries. Like, I'm the worst for this as well. And like, if I am anti-diet culture, I can't have any of these thoughts that are like, but no, we're like humans, we're multifaceted, we are fallible, like, contradictions as well, right?
And what works for
we're walking
person,
hypocrites as well.
And what works for one person isn't going to work for another person. And again, I mean, we've said it a million times, and you do say it all, you know, because it's just true. And actually, having had Jacqueline, we will talk about this with Jacqueline.
Yeah.
But body image isn't about how you look; it's about how you think. And the reason that it doesn't make sense is because it's impossible to just unpick all of this. It's like opening the fucking tech drawer from like 1999. It's just all those cable you started filling in 1999. Now it's 2022, and there have been 15 iPhones in that time, and you've got a cable for every single one of them. They're a mess.
Right.
So it's gonna take time to just unpick that, and all you can do is keep trying to learn, keep trying to work out why do you want to be thin? And if you genuinely believe that changing your appearance will help you, or changing your weight, or changing your lifestyle, or whatever it is, crack on.
Yeah.
If you are doing it for the reasons, like Alex said, like you're rooted in this and fear and validation or whatever, then perhaps sit with that and work out where those thoughts are coming from and if they're ones that you want to keep in that drawer.
And whether it's going to benefit you then to pursue this goal.
Yeah.
If it's only for someone else's validation or to conform.
Oh, because
like, you know, we need to get a psychologist in to like at some point. I think this as well is like this disconnect between our rational self and our emotional, irrational self. And I think for our emotional self, like a lot of that is made up by beliefs like that we've formed because of our environment and what we've heard growing up and blah, blah, blah. And then our higher self knows that all this stuff about diet culture is, all this stuff about how needing to be skinny and fat is bad and skinny is good. Like, we know on a higher rational level that that's not right, but it takes work to unpick that with your emotional self, who, you know, relies more on feelings and emotions and validation from other people.
Basically, that lovely entry said, make it make sense. And we haven't, but we tried. And maybe in a future episode, we will be able to do that.
Yeah, better. We'll go into it properly.
Yeah. I've got an embarrassing story for
you. Hit me.
This actually,
I love embarrassing stories.
This wasn't a specific entry for this podcast. I've gone into my own archives from last year when I asked you guys to send in, when I asked my followers to send in embarrassing stories, because I think about this every single day and it makes me happy every single time I do. So this entry says, I saw an industrial bin rolling down the road. I ran after it and grabbed hold as it whipped me off my feet. I got dragged along the floor, clinging on. as the extremely short bin man who was dragging it to the lorry poked his head around and asked me what the fuck I was doing. I think about it every time I'm sad. She's trying to be so well.
I think that is the best embarrassing story I've ever heard in my life.
Isn't it so? Every time I think, I'm like, oh God.
Imagine the bin man.
He's like, what the fuck are you doing?
Like, oh my God, that's absolutely brilliant.
Isn't it
that's
so good? Isn't it?
Right, these ones make me laugh so much. Okay. Went to the vet, queued for ages. Receptionist asked where my dog was. I replied, at home.
Oh, no.
Took the bus to the car repair shop. Had to get the bus back home and get the car. Went to our six-week postnatal checkup and left the baby at home. I just love them.
It's so... Oh, can I read you my... Also, I'm just going back into my archives, my most favourite ever. Literally, I think this was the first ever entry I had that I realised that I had to do this for the rest of my life. And it was someone saying she was waiting for the bus and the wing mirror smacked her in the head.
Oh my God.
The bus driver had to get out to readjust the wing mirror.
Did it hurt her?
Well, presumably it's a bus. Well,
yeah.
I mean, but it's quite... She literally got hit by a bus. Yeah,
yeah. She really did.
Bus's wing mirror.
One last one, I guess, just for lols, shits and gigs. I ran my ex-boyfriend over when I drove past him. Okay. So, like, that in itself...
I feel like if you're in the court, I'd be like, guilty.
Yeah, yeah, not embarrassing. Deliberate. But it's the way she ended it, right? I ran my ex-boyfriend over when I drove past him and panicked. I was like, of course you fucking panicked.
Of course you panicked.
I'm panicked.
I'm panicked. Everybody's panicked.
You've just ran someone over. I just love the way she just like ended with, and I panicked. I'm like, yes.
I've got. Did she do it?
Are you in jail now?
Yeah. No, Your Honour, I panicked. Good God.
So yeah.
You guys are nuts.
I needed a follow-up story, really. I didn't get one, but there you go.
Yeah. What's prison like? Oh my God. Okay, so... I am kind of interested in prisons. So we looked into, my friend and I, looked into becoming pen pals with a prisoner. Just...
Wow.
Just to see. Okay. I don't know, you know, like, the letter is a dying art, and that's a shame. So, yeah, but, you know, we thought a bit of penmanship might be nice. Yeah, exactly. You know, we're all just on our phones these days. It might be nice to get a quill, a pot, some parchment.
A quill.
Anyway, it turns out, you know, if you want to send a letter, you want to become a pen pal person to somebody in prison. Got to say that five times. Pen pal person. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, if you want to do that, you have to pay.
You don't?
You do.
Do you?
You have to pay. How much? You pay your subscription. It was like 50 quid.
No way.
Yeah. So I was like, well... No.
Did you do it?
No, I'll just write to Alex's mum. She loves a letter. Oh. I don't, you know, so, you
sorry,
know.
Prisoner.
Yeah, sorry. I want to know who's making them. Is it the prisoners?
That's what I was going to say. Maybe it's like admin costs for like the guards.
Postage.
Well,
I guess someone's got to read them. I don't know.
Yeah, someone's got to read it first, right? Vet it and like check
we
there's nothing in there.
We could do this for fun, for an experiment. I might. I'm not going to rule it out.
I don't think I've got time, you know.
I feel like that's feel a really like, selfish thing to say.
I feel like this
when you're considering that the person that you're writing to hasn't so much time. They've got nothing else to do.
I just feel like maybe I could prioritise something else in my life.
Have you written your thank you cards from Christmas?
No.
No, I think we should prioritise. Me neither. Let's prioritise those.
I don't write thank you cards at Christmas. Do you?
Oh my God, what?
No.
What?
I still need to write my wedding cards. It's literally top thank you cards. It's at the top of my list. And every time I sit down,
I've got to do it. You have to write thank you cards for everyone that comes to your wedding. So we thank you.
Presents.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to write them afterwards.
Yeah.
So I need to get on that.
So, I mean, do people, like, is it just me? Do people still write letters? I don't know.
I don't think so.
Because Alex's mum writes loads. And then Alex writes loads. But then to his old people, like, but then still, like, he loves it. Like, we get home from, like, your wedding. He's like, Mr. and Mrs. Light. Like, thank you. Like, he loves a letter.
Oh, did he write
one? Yeah, he loves a letter.
Did he?
Yeah, he loves a letter.
Oh, that's so
sweet. So, I know.
Oh, Alex, that's
but,
so sweet.
But then he doesn't shame me, but I feel shamed because I'm like, God, he's good. Oh. So then maybe I should be better, but I'm absolutely shit. Like, I don't.
I'm
where
terrible.
Do you even buy a stamp? Do people still write? I want to know now. Do people terrible. Still write letters?
Maybe I had to write cards for, like, on your wedding day, you've got to write cards for, like, your bridesmaids and then your mum, your mother-in-law, your dad, da-da-da.
Why? Yeah. To say what? Can you not just text them? Or just say it. You're with them all day anyway.
In the end, I was like, I started writing and realized I just don't write anymore. And I was just getting carpal tunnel. I was just like, I can't write. So I had to type everything out, print it, and stick it in the card. My sister's like, this is pathetic.
That I was
like,
pathetic.
I know,
yeah,
but sorry, you get what you're given, you know.
That's hilarious. Like, future generations will be looking back and they'll be like, time's for you, Roman. the print stick's gone all yellow. That's so funny. I didn't know you had to do that.
Yeah.
I like the idea of a letter. I just think there's something like romantic. But then also,
yeah, I do.
I have a person that I live with. So what am I going to post him love letters? No. What I'm going to do instead is post love letters to the prisoners of Wormwood Scrubs. Because I need someone to declare my love to via the lost art of writing.
I've got my friend Hannah, one of my best friends. She's very romantic. She always has been. She like loves like poetry and literature, and she writes letters like all the time. She still does. Like, I remember when I split up with my boyfriend and she like wrote me this beautiful letter and like bought me this book. I can't remember what it was, which was so bad, but I do treasure it. And she like wrote in the front of it, like wrote this, like wrote on the whole page. I know. And she writes with like a fountain pen.
Oh God,
and
I wish
all,
I could
like,
write with
squiggly,
a fountain
and it looks beautiful. Yeah. Mine's just like big fat bubbles.
I just wish I was like that. Like, I want to do that. It's my goddaughter's christening next week and I want to write something really meaningful. And I'm like, I won't. I know it.
Just text her.
Well, that's it.
Well, she a baby?
Yes.
Okay,
she's
don't text her then.
She's 4.5 months old.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
She might not have a phone yet.
No, give her till 6 months. But yeah, maybe we should. Maybe we should. Well, I'll tell you one thing before we do end this, because I did do a thing on my Instagram before Christmas of people who were like going to be alone and they could be in touch. And loads of people said that they wanted to be pen pals.
That was so nice.
Wasn't it? But maybe we should get pen pals.
That was really nice.
Maybe it has to be prisoners. We could just.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know.
No, but I don't want a pen pal. I don't have to. I just do not have time for that.
I don't think
I would find that a real chore. Like, I'm so sorry. I can't.
Okay.
I need to prioritize. Like,
I'm going
to
write you a letter.
Okay, thank you. And I'll voice note you back. You're welcome.
That's nice. I hate the post, actually. I've talked about this before. I'm absolutely fucking terrified of it. Hate it.
Really? Oh, hate it. You don't open your letters, do you?
No.
I find that.
Even crazy. Sometimes I get wedding invitations. Or, like, you know, you can tell the difference between good post and bad post. I'm currently waiting for a speeding ticket. Which is horrific. Every day I hit a post.
Did you get snapped?
I assume so. Yeah. There was a police van there with a man holding a camera and I was like, hey, yeah.
And a big flash.
Yeah, exactly. And he went, stop, you're under arrest. And I went, fuck off. I hate the post, even the good ones. But I sometimes have to save up enough good ones. So sometimes I'll get a really nice letter and I won't open it because I'll be saving. I'll make sure that I've got enough good ones that they'll take the sting out the bad ones because I don't want to just open a bad one.
I see your logic.
Thank you.
Just get Alex to open them.
Well, yes. That's the other thing that we do.
A nice solution.
Yeah. That's the other thing that we do. So I can't actually, as it transpires, have an affair with a prisoner from Wormwood Scrubs because I'll have to have Alex open the letters.
Shit. That dream dashed.
There's something to be said for a Snapchat affair, I think, probably there.
Well, we've already gone over. I mean, it's no surprise. We promised Daisy that we're going to stick to a strict time and we haven't. So we should probably wrap
this up. We're going
to go. Probably wrap this up. I've really enjoyed this.
Oh, me too.
And I feel like it's nice because we've kind of like settled in a little bit. Like at first we were just finding our feet and finding our way and like working out our own dynamic. And I feel like we're much more relaxed now.
Look at how we're sitting. We're so chill.
Oh my God, so chilled. I've got my feet up.
Yeah, we're
on the table. We've both got our Doc Martens on.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be young.
No, you're really, honestly, you look really cool.
Thanks.
I'm really proud. I want that dress.
I might take an OOTD.
No, do. 100%. Well, actually, Alex and Jacqueline took a Lyft selfie on the way up without me. And they have the audacity to send it to me. I was like, I took a lonely Lyft selfie. Thank you very much.
Piss off.
Yeah, exactly. Fine, run your Lyft together. See if I care.
Right.
Going forwards, we would absolutely love to hear from you. Of course, we have got some incredible guests coming up over the next few weeks. We are what the fuck is happening? So excited. I'm going to be a fucking mess. Like, I'm going to be fangirling. I already know it. I'm nervous.
We're
going
to have to chill ourselves out,
I know. Honestly, I'm sweating. But that's okay.
So for our Is It Just Me section, our final section, we would love to hear from you because we know you've got loads to tell us, like loads to discuss. Send anything in you want, your unpopular opinion, your embarrassing story, things you think that we need to talk about, your Is It Just Me thing. And you can send everything to an email address, which is shouldideletethatpod@gmail.com. We can't wait to hear from you.
This is so surreal. We've got an email. That was it for me. That was the moment.
Was it? This is professional.
Is happening,
yeah. Insane. If you've got to the end, you're amazing. Thank you.
We would love, if you don't mind, a 5-star review. Anything else?
And not to lead you into anything, but please don't give us anything less. If you think we deserve anything less, just don't rate.
Yeah. Just please. Sit with that.
We love you so much.
Yeah. The therapy that we had today was good, but it wasn't perfect.
It wasn't enough.
So 5 stars and above. Thank you very much.
And we can't take any kind of rejection.
No, not yet.
So please be kind. No, but anything like rating, review would be amazing. And obviously subscribe if you haven't already so that we pop into your feed every week. And we'll see you next week.
See you next week. Bye. We are committed.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.